And if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Heavenly Father, this is thy word. We pray that thou wilt make it real to the hearts of those that are gathered here. We pray that thou wilt challenge those that are without thee and those who are thine. O God, our Heavenly Father, give us a heart that's tender and soft. Give us a heart, our God, that reaches out to the lost. Give us a heart that yearns for those that are strangers to thee and to thy grace. Hear and answer our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Last Lord's Day, we considered here in this 16th chapter of the book of Luke, the prayer of the apostles in the light of it, Lord, increase our faith. We noticed that the 16th chapter was divided really in 2 sections. First of all, the stewardship in time. And then secondly, the situation in eternity. And as we looked closer, we seriously pondered the response of faith. Last Lord's Day, we were looking specifically at the stewardship and time and our responsibility as stewards for the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw indeed that faith demands that we use our opportunities wisely. We saw indeed that whenever God prospers us with wealth, that we be faithful in the way that we use it and become not servants of it. And that we'd be wholly devoted to the Lord first, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then He promises all other things shall be added unto us. But I want us to come to the latter part of the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel this morning. And I want us to see that the situation in eternity demands a response of faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is not speaking a parable here. We're going from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. The Lord Jesus says, there was a certain rich man. You say to me, how can I be sure that the Lord Jesus wasn't speaking in parabolic language, in other words, in parables again? You will notice that when the Lord Jesus Christ ever spoke in parables, and He did on many occasions, never once in those parables did Jesus Christ ever name a person. He never named a character in all the parables that He spoke. But in this passage of God's Word that is before us, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ brings a name into the story. There was a certain rich man. There was a certain rich man. It's someone real whom Jesus knew. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. You see, we find that eternity is a very personal thing. And what the Lord does here is He pulls back the curtain of eternity. Jesus, as I said, never named a character in a parable. But whenever He speaks about the journey from time to eternity, it's a very personal journey. And every one of us in this congregation one day must take that journey, and we'll take it individually. There are those who do not believe in life after death. In other words, they don't believe in heaven or hell. There are those who believe in life after death, but only for those who they term are good. In other words, there's a heaven, but there is no hell. that the wicked are annihilated, they're just wiped out, and there is no eternity for them. There are those who believe in life after death, but they believe that eventually everybody will get into heaven. In other words, after a period of time in purgatory, as Rome falsely teaches, and after a time of suffering and pain, enduring God's punishment for their evil doings in life, and because of the intercession of saints, and because of the works of their loved ones and the payments of their loved ones, that somehow in the end of the day they will get out of purgatory and into heaven at the end of the journey. There's one major problem in all of these thoughts. They're wrong. The Word of God reminds us very clearly there is no purgatory. And the Word of God reminds us that there is a heaven. And the Word of God reminds us that there is a hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, He speaks with power here, and He speaks with plainness here when He considers eternity and man's destiny. Because, friends, it is so important. And I believe as the Lord Jesus Christ brought this challenge before His disciples, the apostles cried out, "Lord, increase our faith." As they felt the burden of responsibility that was placed upon their shoulders to faithfully challenge and faithfully warn those that were without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us this morning, for the few moments in the closing of this service, I want us to deal with what Jesus dealt with, eternity and man's destiny, and the deepening contrast before us of those that are saved and those that are not. Now the Bible tells us there's two men here. Just as if they were sitting in this congregation. Friends, let me tell you, these people are sitting in this congregation. The people that are represented in these two men are sitting in this congregation this morning. The man who is saved and the man who is unsaved, and you're sitting perhaps even side by side in the same seat throughout this congregation. The man that is ready for heaven and the person that's only prepared to go to hell. And here we find two men, and I want us to look at them because I want us to see the deepening contrast in their life and in their death and in their eternity. And then I believe in the light of it, there is the response or the demand for a response of faith in answer to what you hear even this morning in the words and in the story that Jesus Christ recalls for you and for me. You notice in life a certain rich man, a certain beggar named Lazarus. In other words, there was one that was wealthy and the other was poor. You'll find that the Bible says that the poor Lazarus, he lay at the gates of the rich man and his body was full of sores. In other words, the rich man was healthy and the poor man was disabled. He was full of ulcerated sores. The one man didn't need to work. And the other man couldn't work. Even though he needed to work because he needed to earn his living. He wanted to work for his home and his family and even to keep the bread on the table, but he couldn't, even though he wanted. Lazarus was a street person. Not by choice, but by handicap. The Bible tells us that one fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in purple and fine linen. He lived a flamboyant life. In other words, the life that he lived was a display of the wealth that he had. He lived his life for material things. He was materialistic in all that he projected. He fared sumptuously every day. He was clothed in purple and in fine linen. The other was called a beggar. He longed for the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And yet we find that one was unknown to God because God doesn't call him by name. And the reason why he was unknown to God, because he didn't know God. He was a stranger to God and to grace. And whenever he died, his name was blotted out of the book of the living. And his name was never in the Lamb's book of life. And the Lord says, I never knew you. But the other was known to God, and we find that not only was he known, he was honored by God. You see, Lazarus, his name was called, and his name simply means, God is my help. God is my help. And thank God he was his help, for friend man wasn't. And in his life we see all the differences. The Lord Jesus Christ paints the picture. And the dogs came and they licked his sores. And then we see the contrast in death, verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Here in the verse 22, friend, we see the contrast in their death. Lazarus died. But notice what it says, he was carried by the angels. In other words, at Lazarus' death, he was escorted to heaven. He was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom, or into paradise. Then it says, the rich man also died and was buried. You know, the only escort he had was the escort to the grave. There was no grave that marked the body of Lazarus. Not that he didn't lie down on earth, for he did, because his body was just thrown onto the rubbish heap. It wasn't his body that was escorted. It was his soul and spirit that was escorted to heaven, was escorted to paradise, the paradise of God. But the Bible tells us that the rich man died and he was buried. I have no doubt whatsoever. Listen, he was clothed in the finest of the garments. If ever he had the purple and fine linen, it was that day. I have no doubt whatsoever. He was put into the best coffin that was in the countryside. I have no doubt that he was escorted by the countryside as he made his way to the graveyard. I have no doubt whatsoever that as he stood around that open grave, the preacher stood at the side of the grave and praised him to no ends of what he meant in society. I have no doubt whatsoever they put the most expensive monument over his grave to mark where his body lay, and went back to the dust and the worms that eat it, and he went back to the dust. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. But friend, let me tell you, he knew nothing about it. They did this all for a man who didn't even know they did it. Whenever they take you and me, friend, and they carry us to the grave, it will not matter tuppence, because you'll not know they're doing it. It will not matter whether they put you into a hole, or whether they put you into a casket, friend, or whether they put you into gold. It doesn't matter what they do with the body. It doesn't matter what monument they put on top of the grave. You'll not know they're doing it. It will be nothing to you. And there they were praising him, and he never heard a word. Why? Because he was no longer taken up in time. He was out in eternity. And friend, he has left behind the sumptuous feasting. And he's left behind the fine linen. And he's left behind all that man can do and all that man can say. Because many a time he heard the praises of man. And let me tell you, it floated him up into the air. He was so proud of what they were saying about him. But the day that they praised him when he was in the coffin, friend, and they put him into the hole in the ground, and they walked away and they put their monument over him, he never heard a word. And neither will you or me. He died.
But notice what it says. It doesn't mention the funeral. It doesn't mention the burial. It doesn't mention the preacher as far as Lazarus was concerned. But it does mention that the angels carried him, escorted him to heaven. For let me tell you, my friend, when life's over, man can do no more. And earth counts nothing. But Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. He lived on in spite of his body being dead, for his soul and his spirit did not die. But as he closed his eyes in death instantaneously, the angels of God gathered round and they escorted him to paradise. And took him home to glory. Tell me, what about you, friend? What about you? Have you set your minds upon earthly things? Have you set your heart about how wonderful will make your procession? How wonderful will make all of your things? Let me tell you, it is right that we treat the body of our loved ones lovingly and tenderly. Friend, doesn't count. Whether it is on a grave or whether it is somewhere out there in the sea where many a man's body lies because of a sinking ship, doesn't matter where we are, the soul and the spirit will go to the God who gave it. And those who are saved will go to heaven and those who are not saved will go to hell. There are contrasts in time. There are contrasts in death. There are contrasts in eternity. What I want you to notice, it says this, the rich man also died. In other words, he was snatched from life. Yes, he also died. You see, Lazarus, it's natural, you can understand it. His body was full of sores. His body was racked with pain. His body, my friend, had no attention as far as social services or health services because there was none to be given on that day. But what we do find is this, the very dogs came and they licked the sores. And it was natural, it says, and the beggar died. But the rich man also died. He was carried, he was snatched away from his pleasures, snatched away from his comfort, snatched away from his worldliness and living. And notice what it says. He died and was buried. Notice the next words. And in hell. Immediately, hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. What does it mean? It means consciousness. Consciousness. Don't you think, my friend, whenever you die, there'll be no consciousness of where you are? You will, my friend, the moment you die and you leave aside the consciousness of time and your soul and spirit leaves that body. Young lad, you'll be conscious where you are. Immediately, conscious in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. This is Jesus speaking here. The blessed, lovely Son of God. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes in torment, seeth Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Notice how the scriptures, my friend, talk about it. Afar off. In other words, it was out of his reach. He could never get there. Oh yes! He saw the glory of paradise. But it was afar off. He could never get there. He could never reach there. You see, my friend, the only time to get ready for paradise, the only time to get ready for heaven, it's now in time. Then it's too late. And there's many a man and many a woman and many a young person has died in their sins and have gone to hell, friend, and you couldn't have talked to them as far as heaven was concerned because they were so full of earth. And immediately they were snatched away from earth. Listen, let me tell you, it's not, my friend, you wanted to go. You were taken from it. You were taken from it. And friend, I can say this before God, younger person or older person. Listen, the sins that you love that keeps you away from Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, you'll be taken from them. You'll be taken from them. And this man was snatched away from them. And notice it says here there was a consciousness. There was a consciousness of paradise and there was a consciousness of the glory. But notice Lazarus had no consciousness of hell. He was in the glory. It didn't say Lazarus saw Abram afar off. It says that Lazarus saw the rich man afar off. No, it says the rich man saw Lazarus afar off, or Abram afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And Lazarus was totally unaware of hell, but the rich man was totally aware of it, and he was totally aware of it and painfully alone. But notice, Lazarus was in Abram's bosom. The companionship and the comfort of heaven. Verse 24 says, he cried, Father Abram, have mercy on me. I have no doubt in life, maybe many a time he mocked the things of God. He mocked the Lord. Not mocking God anymore, friend. Not mocking God anymore. Because the mocking day is finished. And friend, before God, I say, I challenge you in God's name, friend, don't ever be a fool to mock God. You're too insignificant to take God on, aren't you? So am I. Who can mock God and prosper? But he's not mocking God anymore, friend. Listen, he's crying. I have no doubt whatsoever, many a night, poor old Lazarus dropped himself to sleep in tears with a broken body. There's no morphine to kill the pain. The Bible tells us that Lazarus lay at his gate full of sores and he desired to be fed. And I've no doubt he reached out his hand. And as the rich man would drive by in his carriage for him and put his nose into the air, Lazarus would reach out his hand, his bony finger, and cry and beg. Because you see, he was a beggar. He was begging for food. But friend, who's the beggar now? Who's the beggar now? He cried, have mercy on me. And friend, let me tell you this. All the pain and all the hurt that Lazarus had, it was only for a little while. But the pain the rich man had was for eternity. For his would never end. I've seen many a man lying in pain because of the weakness and the sickness of the body. I've heard them. And friend, I've seen them and they've prayed for the morning. They said, preacher, I just long for the morning to come. The night's so long. Let me tell you, friend. The night of hell will never end. And the morning will never come. Have mercy on me. And then he had desire. For he said, sent Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. What must it be? Men and women, what must it be to be lost? What must it be to step out into God's eternity? without the Lord Jesus Christ, and to close your eyes in death, then, and be dropped into hell. Even a little water. And Abram said, "Son, remember." There's many a thing you can't take with you to eternity, friend, but let me tell you something you will. You take your memory. You take your memory. See, the day you stand before God and the books are open, let me tell you, do you know what's in the book, Graham? Your life. Son, remember
how many times, my friend, has God not spoken to you? Son, remember. How many times has a faithful Sunday school teacher not talked to you and talked to you and talked to you and talked to you about eternal things and told you about your need of Jesus? Son, remember. How many times has a godly mother not talked to you? Son, remember. How many times has a godly father begged you and pleaded with you to come to Christ, but you wouldn't listen? Son, remember. Daughter, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime. Some of you think, my friend, that listen, nobody knows about your lifetime. Nobody knows about what you've been doing. Nobody knows because dad or mom hasn't seen, or your brothers or sister hasn't seen, or your husband or your wife hasn't seen. And you say, but it doesn't really matter because nobody knows about my past. I've done it in the darkness. Let me tell you, son, remember thou in thy lifetime. God opens the pages of your life. And what you thought was done in the darkness would be brought to the light of the judgment. Friend, let me tell you, don't listen to your mates that are fooling you and laughing at you and only mocking when you tell you you can do whatever you like and it doesn't really count. God Almighty says He'll bring you to account. And God has not only the right to do it, God has the power to do it. And none of your mates will have the power to stop them. In thy lifetime. And then he said, I've five brethren, send them to my father's house. I've five brothers at home. And I want you to go to them. Harry Ironside preached a message on that text in the Great Moody Church, and he said this, a missionary-minded man in hell. A missionary-minded man in hell who was concerned about soul winning of his lost ones. There are some people who are saved here this morning, and let me tell you, you haven't shown evidence of concern for your unsaved loved ones because you haven't bothered to reach them. And you don't come to pray for them. But there was a man that went to hell one day, and Jesus tells us, he was concerned about his brothers, lest they also come to that place of torment. And he begged, send Lazarus. And the answer was this, if they refused to accept the word of God, how would they repent for man? Ah, but it says if some would rise from the dead, they will repent. Let me tell you, friend, there's a story in the scriptures that proves that that's not true. Because the story's told about how that Herod had beheaded John. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came along and he saw the miracles of Jesus Christ and he heard the message of Jesus Christ, he was haunted by the thought that this was John. That John the Baptist was back again. And he shook when he heard that it was John. But let me ask you a question. Did he repent? And the answer, no. He went on in his sin. He went on in his sin. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Time's away this morning, but listen, here's the response. Here's the call.
Here's the demand of faith, friend. Listen, sinner. Listen to me. Surely these words that Jesus Christ spoke demands a response of faith. If you believed this story, sinner, you'd run to Christ. You would. If you really believed this story, you'd flee to Christ and cry, "Oh God, give me faith. Lord Jesus, I trust you. For you're my only hope and you're the only way to heaven." Listen, child of God. If you really believe this story, let me tell you, you wouldn't be careless about your unsaved loved ones. As you read this again, you ought to cry, "Lord, oh Lord, increase my faith." We need to believe more and more in the reality of hell, friend. And we need to believe more and more in the wonder of heaven. We've been taken to eternity today. Men and women, not one of us know, but this week, this day, we could be taken out into eternity. And where will you be? Two ways before you lie, and each a choice must make. One upward to the sky, one downward to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Each soul must answer yes or no. May God give you saving faith today for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we bow before Thee this morning. Realize that we are traveling on a journey this morning. We're on a journey to eternity. Some of these moments, the place that knows us now will know us no more forever. We have been occupied with the things of this world this week. And yet some of these moments we're going to leave them all behind. We'll no longer fit the plow to the tractor. We'll no longer stand in the milking parlor. Someday somebody else will take the saw and the hammer. Somebody else will take the trowel. Somebody else will make the dinner. Our seat will be empty. And for a while on earth we'll be missed. But Father in heaven, we don't come back. Those that are in heaven wouldn't want back. For they are with Thee. And those in hell can't get back. The great gulf fixed. Oh God, may there be a response of faith this morning. Please don't let this congregation just walk out to start frivolity of today as if eternity was over and the reality of it was past. But oh God, follow after each one of us and bring eternal issues before our eyes. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We're here this morning to help you. And if there is someone here and God has spoken to your heart, and before God you know that you're not right with Him, and you know that today, God says today, while you hear His voice, harden not your heart, then in God's name come to Him. Come and welcome to Jesus. Come and speak to us. I'll be in the minister's room. We'll open up the Word of God. May God save you. You're backslidden. May God restore you. Child of God, go out and live for Him. and seek the lost for Jesus' sake. Amen.